everybody, and welcome to Endercast, more fun than a game of buggers and astronauts. Today is Saturday, October 19, 2013, and you are listening to episode 34, Enderwiggin, Enderwiggin. I'm Crystal from enderwiggin.net, here with Kelly from endernews.com. Say hi, Kelly.
Hey, everybody.
So we are about to be joined by none other than Asa Butterfield, who plays Enderwiggin in the movie, out in theaters in the UK and Europe next week, and in the United States on November 1st. So
that's crazy. Yeah.
So here we go.
Here we go.
I'm Crystal from enderwiggin.net, and then Kelly is from Ender News.
Okay.
Yeah, we're good.
So we're recording this for our podcast Endercast, just to let you know. So
it's not live.
Yeah, it's not live. So
we can edit anything out.
I've actually listened to one of your
Endercasts. Oh my god.
I can't remember which one it was, but
it's probably a fantastic one.
You should listen to the one with Aramis and Kylan. That one was
where they flunked our. We gave them like a pop quiz of like Ender's Game general knowledge, and they bombed it so bad. It's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
I
was yeah.
So I think you might have to give me that. You know.
Yeah.
And
if
I'm worse, then that's going to be embarrassing.
Well, we only have 10 minutes today, so we can't quiz you.
Oh,
but
no,
if you want to come back, that's cool.
Yeah,
too.
If you want to take it later, then just let somebody know. We'll gladly talk to you again.
You cannot do worse than they did, because seriously.
All right. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. So you're in LA. How's that going?
Yes,
how's the day?
It's well. I got in yesterday, so I'm still a bit jet lagged. So if I slur my words, that's my excuse.
Bit of a junket today, right?
Yeah, no, I've just been doing interviews and I had a couple of photo shoots, but it's going well, yeah. It's good
cool.
To see
you. You having fun?
Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun.
Are you going to get together with everyone back in LA? There's, you know.
Of course, yeah. I went out with Kylan and Aramis last night, went to cinema, and I don't know how I stayed awake, but that was a lot of fun.
So did you get an Ender's Game Icy?
Pardon?
Did you get an Ender's Game Icy?
Okay, so... Okay, wait. If you go to an AMC theater in the United States, they have Icy's, which are basically just like frozen slush type things, like juice that's frozen. You can drink it, and it comes in an Ender's Game cup. But it's only at AMC theaters, so we've been looking for them everywhere. You haven't had one yet?
Oh, wow. I gotta try and get some.
Well, okay, Kylan
they should have some. Yeah,
they posted a video. Right, where they have them, so you just... Ask them to hook you up. They know where they are.
I'm definitely going to have to do that. Yeah,
do it.
All right.
Do it.
And I think you'll enjoy the icy because icy's taste good. So.
Yeah. You can't just get a cup.
Nothing like frozen sugar and condiments.
Yeah, they have like Battle School Blastberry and Orbital Orange or something like that. So
I heard the Battle School Blastberry is the best. It's good.
Yeah, so there's special Ender's Game flavors and everything.
So what's been going on? Have you seen your face huge in like the tube or on billboards in LA? Have you seen anything? Has it like affected?
I've seen quite a lot, and it's you never really prepare yourself. You see them, you're like, hey, who's that guy? But a really funny thing that happened when I was on the tube and back at home, and I saw one of the posters, but they'd printed it onto the panel slightly wrong because it's two, like the top half, there's a top half and bottom half, but they put the bottom half slightly high, and so where my face was, my mouth had been moved up. And so it was just my eyes and my mouth, and it looked a bit ridiculous, yeah.
But wait, is it like going up the escalator where you see like ad after ad, like way up, and they've just cut you off? On every single one.
It was a big one on the side of the tube. Yeah.
You should have just signed it and owned it. And like, that's me.
I got to go and find one.
Sign with a Sharpie or something.
Yeah. All right. I'm doing that back around when I get home. I'm going
to
Instagram it.
So are you ever out with your friends and then you suddenly see like something for Ender's Game and like what's their reaction?
It does happen. Last time I was on the tube, we were sitting down, there was a big group of us, and then when the train stopped, outside the window, right behind my head, was the Ender's Game poster, and it was so awkward, because they were all laughing and pointing and saying, hey, look, same guy. I just put my hood up and like, ducked my head down.
Oh, that's so funny.
That was funny, yeah.
Are you excited? It's a week and in England it comes up the 25th. So like this coming week, and it's just crazy. Completely insane.
It is. It's really exciting. It's to have something which I put sort of so much effort and so much love into, both before filming, during filming, and afterwards, and then to have it finally come together is it's an amazing feeling, yeah.
So wait.
Are you in LA until the premiere, or are you going back for the premiere of the movie in the UK, or how is it working for you?
There isn't a UK premiere, sadly.
Who cares about the UK?
Well, I mean, like, the release or anything. Like, I was just wondering if you were going to go to the film with your friends or something like that.
Oh, no, we did that. We did that a couple of weeks ago, that was really fun. But I'm here in LA for the next 12 days, I think.
Chris and I are attending the premiere. We'll probably flag you down and be like, hey, come talk to us. So,
do it.
So my question is, so you had to learn this American accent, and I challenge you to give us an example. Like, can you continue the rest of this podcast with your American accent?
Oh,
you can try it.
You put me on the spot.
No, I'm not.
I haven't actually done it since I
It is a Butterfield. This is not live. We can edit it out if you fail, so don't worry about
that. All right. I haven't done it since I finished filming.
You have to get back and practice. I don't think
it's going to be very good, I got to say.
It's okay.
I did it in front of Haley, and she says I'm slacking. I need to pop up.
Hey. But,
okay, so can you describe to us a cool fan encounter you've had? And you can do it in your American accent, I guess.
A cool what?
Fan encounter.
You have a lot of fans, man.
I do. Yeah, my ace and A's. They're awesome. But do I have to do this in American accent?
You can do whatever
you
want.
Give it a try if you want. No pressure.
All right. I don't think I can, you know. It's too embarrassing. you can win. You can watch the film, and then you can just remember that accent.
Yeah, I've been actually really impressed with the trailers and the clips that we've seen. It's much better.
I've heard it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's good.
I don't know.
I'm convinced. I'm convinced.
So that's a good sign.
Yeah. So just, I mean, we probably don't have very much time left with you, but do you have anything just to say to fans of the film or the book? Or here we have you. What do you have to say? Are you just excited? Anything you hope fans will take from it?
I'm really, really excited to bring it to the screen. And I am such a massive fan of the book. I think I'll be just as disappointed as a lot of other huge fans if the film didn't do it justice. And I've seen it a couple of times now, and I'm over the moon with how it's been and how amazing, both in terms of visual style and quality, and keeping intact all of the important ideas in the film and important scenes. And I think the adaptation is so sort of beautifully done that I'm sure everyone's going to love it.
So what part of the movie do you think fans are going to enjoy the most?
Do you have a favorite part? A favorite scene?
I think people are going to get lots of different things out of it. When it comes to films, I find that it's up to the person seeing it to decide what they're going to get out of it. And with this film in particular, there is so much and so many different things which you can get out of it. It's parents watching it with their children can talk about bullying and those sort of themes. And if it's just a group of friends watching it, they can not only enjoy it as a science fiction adventure, but themes about leadership and children and warfare, which is so relevant today. It's I think it is a film which is going to spark a lot of questions which really need to be talked about.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the book is really known for, right? Is being able to spark conversation. Like, it's taught in a lot of classes. Do you feel like some kind of pressure that, like, now, in addition to teaching the book, teachers are also going to show your movie right after the class reads the book?
Like, thank you, Ace the Butterfield from England.
I had that same experience on The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas. That was shown in tons of schools in the UK. So that was, for a long time, that was what I was best known for, even when Hugo
Ace the Butterfield. I cannot watch that movie. I've seen it once, and it just makes me sob like a baby. Like, there is no lesson to be learned. It's just like sobbing, craziness.
Yeah, you gotta bring tissues when you watch it.
Yeah, forget it. One time was enough for me. Brilliant, but.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, messed me up forever.
So we've talked to most of your castmates on this podcast, and we've been trying to get them on board to push the hashtag November.
November.
Instead of November.
November.
November. Yeah. So can we get November your support first. On that?
Like, for real. It's November 1st, right, November. Do it. Because, seriously, I don't know if you've seen Mean Girls, but it always reminds me of her trying to get Fetch to happen. And it's just... Kylan has tried so hard, Aramis has tried to get November to happen. It's just...
Yeah, and you know, even you Summit... Know,
I think it's an internal thing.
Even Summit is using it on the Ender's Game Instagram, so we got to get you on board.
Yes. We need Asa Butterfield to make this happen.
Okay. All right, you got to retweet this.
We will.
Definitely.
Every week.
Yes.
November.
You will get the ball officially rolling.
Yeah, Crystal and I can't make anything roll. Like,
we try to push, but no, doesn't gain enough traction.
November.
It's good.
Oh, not see. November.
Now he's got a November. Whole month renamed after him. How cool is that?
All right. Just check I spell everything right. That'd be embarrassing. Oh, no. I didn't. I wrote Enza's game.
It's the Butterfield. We're relying on you.
All right. Sent. Could I retweet that?
Yes. We will do
I'm
it.
I'm relying on you guys.
Thank you. So, I guess we're coming to the end. So, is there anything that you want to say to your fans that are listening?
The fans, yeah. Got a lot of
To my turbo fans of the book, the film, which is yet to come out, and I guess me as a person, I'd like to
personal
say
honesty.
That... I think we all really appreciate how much effort, how much love you put into it. And I seriously wouldn't be where I am without all you guys. So thank you.
Well, we would like to thank you so much for coming on.
Thank
today.
You very, very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
It was really fun talking to you. And we hope to see you at the premiere.
We'll see you and enjoy your week and your day.
You too. All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye. Yep.
Bye.
And now we're joined by two special guests, producers Bob Orsi and Gigi Pritzker. Hi, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
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 Hi, this is Gigi.
So just so we clear this up, it's Gigi.
Yep.
Gigi, right? And do you want to be called Gigi? Should we call you Mrs. Pritzker or whatever?
Oh my God, no, that's my mother. You call me Gigi.
Is it a Mr. Orsi or a Bob today?
Bob. Come on.
Bob. Okay, good.
I think Sir Orsi would actually be.
SpongeBob.
Sir Orsi.
It's my real title.
SpongeBob.
There's Sir Ben and there's SpongeBob.
So I guess, good. First of all, we just want to really, thank you guys for making this movie happen. Crystal and I are both, huge fans. We've been waiting years and years and years for this. And now this, a week or two away, it's just a little crazy and terrifying. How are you guys feeling? Good?
Well, that about sums it up.
I'm excited and Gigi's terrified.
I'm excited and terrified.
Yeah.
There we go. How's the day going?
It's nice to be able to talk about the movie, because there's something to talk about. And right. You don't always, November 1st is a fun day in that it kicks off the holiday season. And so to have a movie that could play in summer, really, this is a big adventure. But to have a movie that could play in summer and that can kick off the holiday season, that's also something that afterwards you can go talk about.
Right.
And doesn't just go in one ear and out the other, to us is exciting. I hope that other people feel that way. And I hope
I definitely feel that way.
It does both.
Okay, so, Bob, you've talked extensively on how tough the book was to adapt, but was there anything in particular that was the toughest to adapt, not in terms of production, but adaptation?
I think the toughest part for all of us was to just look each other in the eye and agree that we were going to be faithful to what the book represented and to its themes. You can talk about it. Gigi got the book a few years ago, but it was in the studio system forever.
I had wanted to get it for years, but it was stuck in the studio system, as Bob said, and we really, nobody could shake it loose. And then, it was just kind of one of those things, a fluke thing that someone mentioned it, and we tracked it and figured out that there was a moment in time where if we kind of really got aggressive and dug in, we could get it out, and we did. And then once we got it out, we realized we had this enormous responsibility.
So you were committed from always, from the beginning, to being true to the book.
Yeah.
It's not what was always happening at the studios.
No. And by the way, we think, thank goodness it got stuck and languished. Because from what I could tell, the movie they were going to make was not going to be the movie any of us would be happy with.
And their impetual love story.
Yeah, a love story set amongst a lot of special effects.
Yeah, I know. We watched the featurette that came out yesterday, and they're just looking at the numbers of and all the work that they had to put in. It just looks like it just wouldn't have been the same made 10 or 20 years ago.
Well, the technology finally caught up with us, so we could finally do it justice and make it look beautiful. You know, you were asking what are the hard things to adapt. You know, Gavin wrote a beautiful script, and we had amazing production design and amazing artists working on this. So, you know, in the book, the battle room is a black box. And so how do we make that visual? And when they came up and they pitched us the idea of, well, what if it's this transparent dome in the center of the battle school in which you can see the earth and the stars and the sun and the moon, and you feel like you're out in space, you know, that was an amazing revelation to us. And so that design ethic going through the whole movie of how do we just make this beautiful and make it not your usual dystopian future and make it actually
right.
a nice planet and a nice place to be in and
a
have
world worth
fun
saving.
Amidst the very important themes of the book. That was the hardest part for all of us to make sure that we kept our eyes on without betraying what we all loved about the book originally and without sugarcoating it in some way that made it something totally different than what we all read.
You know, the weird thing is I saw the other day that someone had posted an early review. They had seen a screening somewhere and they'd posted
the Facebook person.
On Facebook, and he had called it a love story to the fans, which, you know, depending on which side you're on, like, it's hard to interpret that, but I think that's beautiful that you guys did keep enough of the core content, the story, Ender's story, that he could say that, and I think that's something
because we were fans.
Right.
You guys are fans.
I mean, the thing that was amazing about the journey of this movie is how... because of the strength of the material and because people love this book and this story, I mean, everybody that came on, it was like a giant cult. In front of the camera, behind the camera, everybody loves Ender's Game and wanted to make this movie and make it true. So the fact that he said that it's a love story of the fans, I think it's fantastic.
That's phenomenal.
Huge.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when we came on set, everybody that we talked to was saying that they were already a fan when they came on.
They were
so
passionate
about it. It was surprising for us.
Crazy when it was just they worked so hard. It was incredible.
We had people coming out of the woodwork, really, literally, in crew who were like, can we work on this movie? I mean, people that did Avatar, people that did all kinds of things. And I know it's crazy to say, and it's a giant movie, but like... You know, we didn't have studio budgets like that, and
that's
so
right.
We never dreamed we could get the talent behind the camera that we got. But it's because of the strength of the material. People were like, no, I want to do this movie. I'm in.
And you can see it on screen. Doesn't matter what you spend or whatever. It's when people go the extra mile at home or behind the scenes. When they go the extra mile, you can feel it. Doesn't matter what they're paid, whether they're super overpaid or you can tell in this movie that it was made with people who really cared about making sure that it got launched correctly across the board. So we lucked out.
It's the most expensive fan film ever.
It might be. So you guys are kind of coming up at the end of Gravity launched a couple of weeks ago, and they've just like had this completely crazy, unexpected box office success for like a third consecutive weekend now. And, you know, most of Ender's Game is also set in, you know, Earth's orbit and lots of null gravity stuff. They did like a 3D thing. Do you guys regret not going the 3D route? Are you like comfortable with that? Like what made you choose not to go that route?
We actively chose not to go 3D. I mean, it wasn't just a... Shoot, we should have done 3D.
Oh, man. I missed the
boat. Yeah, oh, we forgot that one, or we ran out of money. No, none of that. It was, I think the strength of something like Gravity is that it was made to be. That film was built for that format.
Right.
And it's spectacular. Our film, there are moments when it would have been terrific to be in 3D, but a lot of the movie is really not about that. It's about the story. Yeah, sure. It's about the people. It's about the characters. And I certainly felt, and I think we all felt in the end, that that actually kind of betrays the spirit and the ethos and the heart and soul of the movie.
I agree.
Gimmicky for this movie.
Yeah, I'm not a 3D fan anyway, and just the thought of it kind of puts me off. But IMAX, however, I will totally...
Yeah, right? Super cool. I love that. That I'm excited about.
Yeah.
So we had talked to you guys about this on set, but we'd love to ask you this again to have fans hear it for themselves. You did audition younger children for Ender Wiggin. Why did it ultimately not work for the movie to cast children closer to Ender's age in the book?
Well, remember, in the book, he spans all the ages, including the age that Asa ultimately ends up being. So we decided that we wanted to make sure that we could keep, you know, it was so hard to find talented actors that we didn't want to have to recast them every half hour of the movie. If you'd started with a six-year-old, you'd have to recast Ender twice before he got to 12 years old, right? And so when we were lucky enough to find these incredible actors in Haley and in Asa and in all the young cast, the idea of compressing time a little bit and being vague about it. We don't really specify how much time goes by. It's still a while, so it still is tribute to the length of time in the book. But the idea of recasting these people midway through and not being completely through their point of view, you know, learning to love them and getting to know them on screen felt like a betrayal of the talented actors that we got. So one of the decisions that we made was let's compress time. We'll specify how much time goes by. But we'll compress time to such a degree that when our actors go to battle school, they're there for however long they are, and they learn what they have to learn. And if we could believe that the story could still happen, given the vague time constraints that we had, then we felt that was a worthwhile thing to sacrifice from the book to the movie. And you have to make a couple of things like that.
During our set visit, you told us that you specified in inches.
That's 100% correct. And I think in addition... One of the things when you're making a movie out of a book, and the thing that's so different about a book and a movie, is when you read a book, you make it all up in your head, and what they look like is in your head.
Yep.
And it's all, and so what does a six-year-old really look like? I don't know. You can kind of skip over that in your head. But when you look at a six-year-old trying to tell Harrison Ford, that doesn't look right.
No, it wouldn't.
So,
yes, true.
There's that.
Yeah, I mean, I have one in my house, and I look at him, and I'm like, oh, I don't think so.
Like, no.
Exactly. But in your head, the image of a six-year-old is good.
So we have time for one more question.
Okay, so, I mean, I guess, like, what we want to ask is just, you know, it's so close now. We're here, like, 2-1 week away, depending on where you're living. Do you guys have anything to say to the fans? Do you have anything that you want fans to just know going into this movie, going into seeing it for the first time?
I would only say thank you for keeping the book alive. And I think fans were demanded from the very beginning that the book be true, that the movie be true to the book. And that's ultimately how I think we as producers collectively decided we were going to approach this. So I think they gave us the strength and the guts and the courage to stick to our guns and not to make it something other than what it should be. And so our only message to the fans is thank you, and we hope that other people see what we all saw from the beginning, what all of us fans saw in the book from the beginning. We hope that now we can share that with everybody else who doesn't know the book.
Yeah.
Well said. Hear, hear.
Well, we're only 13 days away, I think, so I mean, I guess everyone will know soon enough.
We will know. Thank you guys so much for coming on.
Thank you for doing what you're doing.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks.
Take care.
Yeah, bye, guys.
Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, so, guys, in the past week, at least in the past few days, we've got so many new clips, like, heading up to the junket today. I was hesitant to watch them at first because I was like, oh, I feel like I've just seen so much of this movie already. And I did watch them. And I guess I have a favorite. Which, Crystal, did you have a favorite that you liked?
I liked the Nothing Left at All one, the one between Anderson and Graf, because to me it just showed me that they have preserved the moral issue, which is a big part of the book, right?
There's something else to the story than, like, cool
CGI effects and that room. And I mean, that's all important because that's, like, what we attach ourselves to. But at the end of the day, you want that moral dilemma in there. You want the drama at the end. You want to, I mean, I don't want to see Ender hurt, of course, but it's part of what makes Ender Wiggin who he is. So I really like that. And I mean, I know people have been criticizing Harrison Ford's performance in some areas, and I feel like
we haven't seen Harrison Ford's performance. That's my problem. Like, if we have voiceovers, that's always a dull thing that people record. You know, if I had to record a voiceover or something, I'd probably sound like a
are some valid complaints with, like, the sound editing.
Oh,
and
sure, me
like
too.
That.
Sure, me too.
Because there was one TV spot where he says, "We need the best," and it sounded weird to me. That part, I don't know. It sounded a little slurred or something. But performance-wise, I like what he's done. You know, I think I like it better than most of the movies I've seen him in recently. So I'm really looking forward to seeing it. You know, I have read a couple of things saying that he does turn out a really good performance. So
yeah, and I guess with, like, everything that we've seen so far, it's so hard because I don't like watching the clips, but then I feel like I have to watch them to describe them on Ender News. And I'm just at this point, I just want to see the whole film. Yeah. I want to sit down and watch the film. And I feel that I can give unbiased is a hard word to say. I obviously there is a sense of bias there, but, like, I want to give a review that will ultimately be truthful to how I feel
as a fan, right?
As a fan, as a huge fan of this novel, I want to give fans an accurate description of how I felt seeing the movie. But then I also feel that we've come a long way, and it's just there's this personal connection to the project and the actors where you want it to do well. And then you question, you know, well, you know, what if you didn't, you know, it's just, it's a complicated situation now. And we're here. Chris and I will be seeing the movie a week from Monday. So ultimately, like, 7, 8, 9 days. What do you do? And here we are. And I guess as a fan, I'm just super excited this film was made, that we will be seeing an adaptation of this book, and how Gavin Hood ultimately envisioned the Battle School and Ender Wiggin and everything that happened. So that's something, I think, and I just looking forward to seeing it.
We'll probably have just one more podcast before we see it, and then I guess we need to record post.
That's so weird. How are we gonna swing that?
I don't know, but yeah. Down to the wire here, guys.
It's really,
And next week we're probably going to see reviews starting to come out. I don't know if I'm going to be able to resist reading them, but we'll see.
Well, I asked on Ender News Facebook. I was like, do you guys want me to post reviews? Do you not? And the majority of them said, if it's a positive review, you know, post the hell out of it. If it's not, just, either way, like, whatever way it happens, and we have no idea, and I'm trying to be, you know, as optimistic as possible, but I want to bring positive reviews to the fans. I obviously there aren't none. I've already seen several that love it, so you just have to.
Well, I feel like the positive ones are gonna probably come from fans of the book, and that's gonna be the most relevant, because if it's a great movie for fans, then that's what our fans are going to want to hear, because that's going to be the most one that
it's very
the
easy for me to love
the most
the
parallel
film.
To right.
It's easy for me to love the film and to be like, guys, this was incredible. I loved it. If it's a cinematical success, if it gets a lot of money, gets us a sequel, I don't know if that's going to happen, but I just. If for me, if I watch it and I can be like, that was
Ender's Game.
That was Ender's Game. Then for me, that's a success. And for me personally, as a fan, I don't need more than that.
Yeah.
I don't need a sequel. I don't need any of these other things.
Yeah, because, I mean, for me, Ender's Game is my favorite book out of all of Orson Scott Card's Ender verse books. So this is, for me, the most important one.
It's just so weird talking about this now, because, like, in a week we'll know.
Yeah.
Silly. So, like, a huge thanks to producers Bob Worsley and Gigi Pitzker for coming on today. Also, Ender Wiggin actor Asa Butterfield. It's so huge pleasure awesome. To have you guys on today.
So awesome to finally be able to talk to the guy we named our podcast after.
Right. On our podcast. So, just, you know, thanks so much. And to everyone else, we'll probably have one more episode and then we'll all have seen the movie. And then we can talk about how much we did or did not like it. So that's coming soon, I guess. So yeah, guys, we want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. If this is your first time listening, you can catch all of our past episodes on our website, www.endercast.com, or you can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook at EGEndercast. And remember, shoot straight.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, guys.